Today on the program, no killing, no arson, no robberies, no rapes, all because of you. It's Kung Fu Hustle. Welcome to the Rewatch Party. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me today is the blind man to my giant package, Anthony.
They weren't both blind. One of us could see, and it was horrifying.
Ew.
One was blind, the other just wished he was.
Sometimes disabilities are great. So, also joining us today, Elise. I don't know why that's the way.
Wow. Way to make me feel like a good person. Just because I'm deaf in one ear, you fucker.
So am I.
Now I wish I was deaf in both.
Not bringing that up. I was talking about being blind around Anthony naked.
Hanging out with you guys makes me wishing I was like Helen Keller.
Same.
Oh my God, it's like a dysfunctional marriage at this point.
But with more sex.
Which is to say, still none.
You're brother husbands.
I just mean the whole damn.
I got me some brother husbands.
The whole fam damly. Even our awkward husband, Manny, who only comes back from buying cigarettes once a year.
Yeah. He's out picking up some smokes right now.
Oh my God!
We sent him to the grocery store, and he still hasn't come back.
The thing is, it wasn't even an excuse. It's because we all drink so much. We're like, dude, we need some smokes, and we actually sent him out, and he just got lost.
Yeah, this and he also doesn't have a car. So. We probably should have sent someone else.
Then we got Dan. He probably got hit by a bus again or whatever.
Should have sent Dan.
Dan just flies by for a little bit here and there. I'm pretty sure he's got another family somewhere. Like he's like a pilot that's got two families.
Yeah, he's the one who's like at home. He's like, man, this is kind of shitty. Let me go check in with my second family. And then he does an episode or two. And he's like, oh, fuck.
I need normalcy. Dysfunctional that one was.
Today we were talking about Kung Fu Hustle from 2004, directed by Stephen Chow, who gave us Shaolin Soccer. And some other things.
I have not seen it.
Same. I'm sure by the time we get to the S's, it will probably be added.
In 32 years?
Yeah. All I've heard is that it's this, but on a soccer field instead of a apartment complex. So I'm here for that. He also is Singh in this movie, our hero. So he cast himself in the lead role. That son of a bitch.
I want to be a movie star. No one will take me. Yeah. Okay, I'm making my own movie. Fuck you guys.
Pulled a real Tommy Wiseau.
Exactly what Ben Affleck and Matt Damon did. They won an Oscar.
They did. And good old Joseph Gordon-Levitt with Don John. Nobody knew who he was until he made his own movie.
And now we do.
Look, it was a shit movie. Previous episode, but the balls on this kid. I'm gonna star and direct and write my own movie in which I get to bang out both Scarlett Johansson and Julianne Moore. Like, all right, dude's got his priorities.
I'm gonna fix him to freaking make a production studio or something. What does it take to do this? I'm gonna do this.
Ew, are you gonna be another Harvey Weinstein?
You guys want to make a movie?
No. There was no blow me or else type of shenanigans.
Never mind.
All right. So skewing back on track, at least you have.
Yeah, I got some numbers for you. So this movie is running at an hour and 39 minutes, and it had a budget of $20 million estimated. Opening weekend, it made $269,225. Giggity. The worldwide gross on this was $104.8 million. So they made it up in the back end, probably because this became a cult favorite.
Oftentimes, if I come up short, I have to make it up in the back end as well.
Yeah, you do.
Your old peg coming by, huh?
It's just a pegging.
It's a beautiful Pegasus.
It's a drive-by pegging.
It's a drive-by pegging. Just hanging straps out the window.
Damn, this dude came strapped.
Look what I can do.
All right. So we open up with this butterfly cruising along through all of our opening credits and stuff, and we eventually get the title card of the movie. Very CGI heavy movie. They do not shy away from the fact that they are being computer animated. But they use computer animation to basically make this whole fucking movie a giant Looney Tune cartoon. And, I mean, if you're doing it, do it. Right?
It's very the movie The Mask.
Yes. Very much how Mask was live action Tex Avery cartoons. This is live action Bugs Bunny.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. And, like, if that's what you're doing, lean into it, embrace it, run with it, and actually put time and care into making it good. And they do. So you can be like, oh, this is computer animation, but it's a fucking great time, as opposed to when they're trying to, like, this is a legitimate movie, and you're like, yeah, but why is this? I don't know. When you just get, like, random, really shitty CGI, you can tell they didn't give a shit. It really kind of ruins
things. Green fire.
But, yeah, like green fire because your genes exploded or Paul Sorvino farted or whatever happened in that movie.
Yeah.
Get Acme rocket launched into it. Too.
Surface air missiled out of a basement into an alley and then explode. Yeah. That. God damn, what a movie. What a picture. What a picture.
So good.
Previous episode knockoff.
Yes, previous episode knockoff. Oh my God. Even listening back to that episode, I think I had to pull my car over a couple of times. I was like, I can't fucking see. I'm laughing so hard. This is absurd. If only the movie was that entertaining. So we get Inspector Chan.
It was.
You see his little, you know, nameplate Inspector Chan. He's sitting in his chair, staring blankly off into the distance. So the camera follows his stare out of his office. You know, the whole, what do they call it? The bullpen.
And
a police station, you know, you got the chief's office and out there where all the...
I've only been in a police station a few times, and it was in an area called the lockup.
Yeah, different. It looks a lot different in that part of it. Not the public walk into part,
no,
but the
we
bring you in part. Yeah,
that's not where they took me.
Me too. My infamous line, no, sir, I am already defeated. But we got the...
I want a t-shirt.
Yeah, if I can... So my mugshot, I mean, I think I took one that night. I don't really remember, obviously, the reason I was arrested. But then when I moved back to Kansas, apparently there were insurance issues and, you know, whatever. So I had to go take a new mugshot and fingerprints. Like, I didn't get arrested. They were like, hey, come on by just so we can keep you in our system because we need everybody in our system. Yay, government. And they gave me like a 2-week window. So I just let my beard go and everything grow out as much as possible. And then the morning before I went in, I shaved right up the middle. So I had like the biggest Wolverine fucking chops and a hat. And I just looked like this grizzled fucking lot lizard motherfucker. And I went in to get my mugshot. So somewhere there is a Kansas mugshot of me looking like, like Wolverine panhandling for cash.
Oh,
like behind the loves.
Whenever I get like a new driver's license, I do that shit too. I just look completely disheveled. I walk in, I like got one eye closed, and I'm just like, look like I'm all fucked up.
Is that when you get pulled over for driving drunk?
That way, if I look like that, I'm like, oh, like no, this dude just always looks like that. Go ahead,
you're fine, sir. So anyway, if I can find that picture, that would make a great t-shirt. That picture, that quote. Wonderful t-shirt idea. Anyway, so they're the whole bullpen, everybody's staring blankly, almost frozen, and we see the sign on the wall that says super crime fighters, and then a body flies into it and breaks it, and we get this dude in a shitty cowboy hat. He's like, anybody else? And the whole every cop's like, oh, no, moon starts like doing paperwork. Everybody's
I'm way behind on this paperwork.
Yeah. Oh, suddenly I remember I have other things to do than deal with this guy who's fucking shit up inside a police station. But he's all pissed off because this woman got arrested for spitting. He says, is there no justice? She just was spitting.
Why didn't she have this spit bag over her face?
Spit bag?
Just in case. Yeah, in jail, if you're a spitter, they put a bag over your face.
I was not aware of this.
I was a swallower in jail. It was very popular.
Got to get your protein.
I mean, that's what they said. They said, you go in there and you find the toughest looking motherfucker and you blow him. And then you'll be safe.
Oh, wait. Forgot to say away.
Oh, he was pretty blown away.
So the commissioner is only boss because he paid his dues to the crocodile gang. So this Chinese Elon Musk cowboy hat wearing motherfucker is part of the crocodile gang. And everyone is so scared they can't even look at him as he walks by. That's the amount of power and respect.
Hard to look at.
He is really fucking hard to look at. So the crocodile gang, you can tell the crocodile gang because they said after a while.
That's right. They're the alligator gang then.
They'd see you later.
You would see them later.
So the crocodile gang here goes out into the street. And the guy, the Chinese Elon Musk cowboy hat guy, hears something and he tries to get back in. But, the cops lock the doors. It's very much the cartoon duel about to go down. Like, this movie is Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Everybody's at every turn.
Closing their shutters. Everything's locked up.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody.
Streets are empty.
Completely. It's a oh shit duel kind of thing. And we get the Axe Gang. And I like to, oh shit, the Axe Gang call for help and just fucking shoot a flare into the sky.
Into the sky, not this guy.
Right. The excuse me while I
kiss this guy.
Flare this guy.
For that.
It's almost what lighting the fires of
whatever. Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings fires.
Right. Yeah.
They call for aid. So, they're opening fire, shooting stuff, and everybody's getting blasted except for Hat Guy. He's just too badass. But he is trying to run and gets an axe through the knee, and his leg just gets full on.
He's running in cowboy boots. That ain't easy.
No.
I mean, these are slick bottom boots, too. So maybe if he was wearing sneakers, he could get away from that axe, but no. As it were,
he's now down a leg.
Dislegged him.
Yep. And as he's laying there going, holy fuck, I'm missing a leg, this guy comes just dancing up and just hacks him. And then there's a woman over the side like, oh my God, spare me, spare me. I don't kill women. You can go. Thank you, brother. And as she starts to leave, he gets a shotgun from someone and just fucking blasts her in the back. So much for that. I don't kill women. And now Inspector Chan's counting out money, because they're getting paid off by gangs, right?
Right.
The whole police force is corrupt. We get our main dudes dancing around, lots of pictures of all these murders. Every time we cut back to the Axe Gang, there's more of them, and just the whole gang just doing like line dancing and just dancing and grooving about all the crimes they do.
Yes.
And
bad guys.
Very, very bad guys, but great rhythm.
Yeah. No, I mean,
excellent rhythm on these fellas. So we get a little blurb. In times of social unrest and disorder, the gangs run amok. The most feared is the Axe Gang. Only in the poorest districts, which hold no interest for gangs, can people live in peace.
Checks out.
Oh, well, yeah. Just keep them all over there with the poors. Ain't got no use for the pores.
Nothing to steal from them.
Yeah. Just make sure they ain't got nothing. And we got to worry about going there. That's one less spot we got to pillage. It cuts a lot out of our day.
Yeah, I mean, our to-do list is shorter.
Yeah.
We just get to stick men with, bad shit.
You got the Hamptons, the Hills. We can avoid Pigsty Alley.
Doesn't seem like a place you'd want to avoid, but yeah, we'll just stay out of there.
Yeah. I don't know if there was a spot actually called Pigsty Alley, I would I would avoid it.
I'd have to check it out at least one.
I do bet that there is a fucking fantastic bar, though.
Oh, yeah. There's somewhere in that place. There's a bar that you want to.
You definitely want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're going to have great specials. You know they're going to have great specials.
No, they won't have any specials because everything's already cheap.
Yeah. That's the kind of place you're going to go get your Milwaukee's Best.
That's where you go and you order a beer and whiskey. You don't name off, I want Jack or I want Maker's or no, you, I want whiskey. Give me a beer and you get what you get.
Yeah.
That's that type of bar.
If and you drink I your whiskey with water, good news, because it's already watered down.
I'm here for it. This is my kind of place. Now, what you do is you sit at the bar and you keep to your fucking self and you won't get stabbed.
Mostly.
Hopefully. Don't go flashing any cash. You'll be all right. So we are in Pigsty Alley. It is this. It's an apartment complex, but that seems like it's underselling it. It's like three-sided with a big courtyard. And I don't know what, 6 or 7 stories tall, pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big building. Looks kind of like projects type situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, down in the middle in the town square, as it were, you know, kind of a little farmer's market and some stuff, shops on the ground floor. And but there's like this one random faucet sticking up. That's the whole town's water source. There's this one spigot.
And, I would like to be like on the 7th floor and you got to walk down 7 flights of stairs to get a pot of water and then take it back up.
That's why the higher floor, it's cheaper. Well, unless you're talking high rises or condos, but generally like apartment living, if you're on the 3rd floor, you're paying less than the ground floor because it's a pain in the ass moving in and out, going about your day-to-day life, doing shit, getting down to the water faucet. It's rough. So, you know, there's a public washroom, a line for the drinking water, whole town, everything they need right here. Nobody ever needs to leave Pigsty Alley, and the whatever the other town is doesn't want anybody from Pigsty Alley coming to town. They got their own tailor. They've got a noodle maker, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. This drunk-ass landlord just taking advantage of people, getting free haircuts, free this, free food, just grabbing food and kissing ladies and shaking babies and whatever else.
I mean, he getting just like walking up like sneaky kissing them. Like, it's kind of sneaky, but he's like, oh, look over there. And then when she turns back, his cheek's right there. It's just for that big right on the cheek.
Right. And his cheek, because he is married to the landlady.
Yeah. He's got like kind of funky uncle, like not bad touch uncle, but like he's ornery.
He's an ornery fellow. Yeah. He's you keep your eyes on him type of uncle.
Yeah. But he's getting, you know, he's the landlord. He is the landlord married to the landlady. But yeah, so everybody's giving him the free donuts, giving him the whatnot.
Yeah. And it's cheek kisses, I guess. In his defense, he's not like distracting. And so when she turns back, he's got his mouth right there, his taint or something. But just a cheek kiss.
It's a hell of a move.
Yeah. Well, as we find out, he's got the skills to do it.
He does.
He's got surprise taint kissing.
Taint what I expected.
He said there's something in the air over there, and I turned. When I looked back, all of a sudden, his taint was in my face. Keeps it very clean. Having one, they must have the other
spotless gooch on that guy. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, he's a little creepy, but he's like I said, I describe him as ornery.
Gooch you can eat off of, that guy.
And he doesn't mind if you do.
Nor do I. So there's this poor guy trying to shower down in the public square. You know, he's just full on naked, all soaked up, washing his balls in this fucking public faucet. And all of a sudden the water dries up. And he yells up at the landlady who storms down, cartoon runs down.
Yeah, it's like she opens the window, he's like, what? And then you hear zipping noises, and all of a sudden, 1 second later, she's at the front door, gone down 4 flights of stairs. Yeah,
and tire screech noises as she comes up and stuff like that. Like, it's very, very cartoon, as I say. Always smoking and yelling, the water isn't free, you know. From now on, we're only going to allow it on certain days. So now she's restricting it even more. And this guy's just standing there. Like, this poor dude is the most unfazed ever. Like, I don't think he ever puts an expression on his face about anything at any point.
No, he's the stylist too, isn't he? Yeah, he's the one that does the hair cutting, the barber. He's the hair stylist.
And so later when he is cutting hair, he still has dried soap on him.
He's like, but I was having a shampoo.
And so she's yelling at everyone about how they're restricting water. And so now the landlord comes up and she sees lipstick on his cheek, you know, from the sneaky kiss situation. And so she starts beating the shit out of him. And there's some kids playing soccer until the gang shows up.
Yeah, and like when she beats the shit out of him, it's not like just beat, like she throws him out of the friggin' in the street and then hits him in the back of the head with a friggin' flower pot.
Oh, the old flower pot on the head, yes.
Stays on the head. And this was like not thrown from the top floor. I mean, this would kill a normal man.
Yes, 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 yes. But again, every Looney Tunes trope ever. But the Axe Gang shows up, so I guess they have decided to peruse Pigsty Alley.
Well, the Axe Gang... kind of like the big guy comes, they come in to get a haircut. So it's our hero. What's his name?
Oh, right. Well, we don't know yet. We think this is actual Axe Gang.
Right.
Big guy and his little helper.
Yeah.
So they're getting the haircut. You know, it's too good. He's the boss of the Axe Gang, and now you've made him mad.
He's a bad guy, and you made him look this good. We do bad stuff. Yeah.
Yes. So we're not going to pay for it because you made him look too good. And the hairdresser's just not having it. It's like, no, you're
not only that, he's like, you need to pay me so that we can go fix this situation. Like, he's trying to blackmail him because his haircut looks too good.
Yes. I'm gonna not only finagle a free haircut, but I'm trying to get paid for getting one. Yeah. And so, you know, during the boss in quotes is just sitting in the chair while the skinny helper handles all the talking. He's like, we're gonna have the whole gang here. There'll be thousands more. You don't want this. And he's challenging the whole community because they're like outside and the whole town is surrounding him.
Yeah. Like the hairdresser guy kicks him out and he's like, you're trying to blackmail me. Tells the landlord, he's trying to blackmail me or whatever. And then like the whole town just shows up like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah. And so it's great. And you know, he's trying to fight people. You know, I'll take on anybody, you. And he points at who he thinks is a short guy, but then it turns out he stands up and it's a super huge jacked dude. Yeah,
sitting
in
a chair. Yeah. He's like, I said no cheating.
No cheating. Sit back down. What about you?
And you know, like at first he has this little lady, like she does the laundry or whatever. He's like, this old woman come up and he's like, oh, I'll fight you or whatever. And she punches him in the guts. He's like, oh,
and he's like bleeding. Blood. You're lucky you're a woman. Get out of here. And yeah. And all these gags, he keeps calling out people and it's backfiring every single time. And he's trying very hard to play it off like he's
like, you four eyes. Yeah, you get out of here, nerd, or whatever. And the guy comes around. He's like a bodybuilder. He's like, you sit back down.
I said no cheating. Yeah.
Then he tells like a little kid. He's like, you come here. So then the kid comes around and he looks like a bodybuilder. He's like, no, you sit back.
Yeah, it's like a super jacked kid. Yeah. Oh. So finally the landlady shows up and like beats him. I don't know if she has a slipper.
Yeah, I think she starts hitting him with her chancla.
Slipper?
Slipper.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not Chinese. That's Spanish. It's universal across all cultures. Mothers hit their people with their shoe.
Oh, yeah. If a mother is wielding a shoe, look the fuck out. Yeah. So he keeps talking about backup and he grabs an M80 and throws it. But he throws it behind him, like over his shoulder.
Yeah, like throws it over the top of a building. Which is, oh, I'm calling for backup or whatever, like what the other
like
guys
the
do.
Flares but, or yeah. Something. Yeah. But it's just an M80. You know, so then the actual Axe Gang does show up, and one guy's hat is burnt up because of the M80 that was thrown. And they are pissed. Who threw this? And our main guy, our talker here, immediately starts pointing at all the people because he's such a bitch. Such a fucking bitch. And landlady, what she yells, it's raining, bring in your laundry. You know, get everybody inside. Runs upstairs all Looney Tunes style.
Hides under the blankets.
Yeah. A hairdresser still with soap in his hair and on his face, almost gets an axe to the head.
Yeah, what? Like, I think he,
like they're swinging at him, and it's about to hit him in the head.
Like, hits the boss and like knocks him across the freaking like the just the dude doing hair knocks the dude into a barrel
and
breaks his back.
Yeah, and the guy's like, "Oh my god, my back is broke. We need to call for help." So now we get another flare, and I like the flare goes up and forms an axe, like shaped fireworks. So. the kiss lady from earlier, who looks awkward. Like, he found, Stephen Chow found a very awkward faced lady to be the
very
like, sexy lipstick lady. She's
big mouth, big teeth, like, yes, a real like a Steven Tyler vibe going on with the mouth.
Yeah, it's like the, so we had the Chinese Elon Musk earlier, now we got the Chinese Julia Roberts.
So, yeah, something to that effect.
Yeah, with the just extra mouth. That's like God said, give me a woman, extra mouth.
That's too much mouth. You don't need all that mouth, girl.
You don't need all
not
that
on
mouth.
Me.
That's too much mouth for one person.
Say some mouth for the rest of us.
What you going to do with all that mouth? Never mind. I was going to try to run with that. I don't want to. So she's putting on lipstick and checking herself out in a mirror. And, you know, like as she's putting it on, there's a giant boom and it shakes and, you know, lipstick across her cheek and the whole thing. She's like, who the fuck made me mess up my makeup? And storms out and sees the whole gang is there, taking the whole town hostage. Hairdresser, the tailor, the noodle baker, everybody all taken down. And
it's like a poem. The dress shop, the tailer, the noodle man maker.
I said earlier, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, yeah, all right, in a boat going to hell or whatever that fucking story was about. So even the landlord has buried his face back under that plant that the landlady, he like picks up, he's like, nope, nope, nope. And you can see him like patting the soil back down over his face. Like, nope, I don't want anything to do with this. So we get the guy from earlier, the talker from the salon, right? He wants to know who did this. I'm going to count to three. If I get to three, I'm going to light this woman and child on fire. Seems pretty extreme.
Yeah, it seems a bit much.
So finally, someone catches the lighter.
Yeah, it wasn't the talker, though. Wasn't it the boss guy? Or the guy that from the original?
Was it the actual boss?
I think it was the actual boss. Yeah, it wasn't.
I thought
it
was our pretend to be tough.
No. This was the boss that was going to catch him on fire.
Yeah, we haven't had any names yet, so everybody's still dude, because I didn't want to start adding names until we learn them as viewers. But so finally a guy's like, I did it.
I caught the lighter. And this guy did not do it. This guy was the guy that's been like carrying bags of rice around.
Yes,
and they keep calling him Cooley or whatever. Yeah.
And he like is always like, you see him like using his foot to flip like you would flip a soda can or I don't know, something, just flip lightly with his foot and a giant bag of rice up onto
like
his shoulder.
He's got like 5 80-pound bags of rice on his shoulders and he's kicking another one up there.
So he's like, I fucking did it. What of it? And this giant kung fu battle breaks out and you're like, holy shit, the guy that makes rice is a badass. And he just starts beating the shit. Like it's Neo at the beginning of the second Matrix.
Yeah.
And he's just beating the fuck out of so many Axe gang members all by himself. So the one guy in the back of the tailor shop, and the tailor's all scared, you know, Axe gang member swinging his axe around. And all of a sudden we cut outside and that Axe member flies out the window. Turns out that the tailor's a badass and he has the rod. He brings the rod down, but also the little metal.
Yeah, it's got like a bunch of metal rings, like almost like a shower curtain situation. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what the rings were doing there, but he like breaks the rod and they all slide onto his arms.
So now he's got metal ring protectors on his arms and he fucking Donatello bow staff and he's ready to fucking go. And he's also badass.
And go he did, friends.
And oh man, then he starts busting asses.
Yeah, so now you got two basically kung fu masters. One was a tailor. Isn't the tailor the one that the guys kept calling, that the landlord kept calling fairy? Like the landlady?
Yeah. He is a bit effeminate until you push him too much. And then guess what?
He's freaking arm ring guy.
Yeah, I'm arm ring guy. Who cares if I prefer the company of men? I'm experienced with beating ass. Look, who you choose to have sex with has nothing to do with how badass you are.
No, absolutely not.
Are not mutually exclusive. So he's whooping the noodle makers, beating up people, starts whooping asses. The huge dust cloud forms. And when the dust cloud finally clears out, we get our three random guys standing victorious and the whole entirety of the Axe gang like hobbling away.
I think the donut maker, he came out too, and he had like a spear type thing. He was the one running with the Donatello bow. The tailor had the
armor. Just
the rings.
He didn't use the rod that the clothes were hanging from also?
No, because he broke the rod, so the rings would all slide onto his hands. Right. Yeah, but, so there's
three masters here just and run off this entire gang. And they're not happy. And they got our two guys. The fat guy that was posing as a boss and the skinny guy. He's like, well, they're posers. Fucking kill them. I don't give a shit. And they throw an axe, and the skinny guy disappears all of a sudden. So the axe hits the wall behind where he used to be. Turns out he can pick locks. So he picked the locks on the handcuffs and dropped out of the way. He's able to save his friend. So his second axe just hits the wall. You know?
Yeah. Because then they're like, lock pick. He's fast, too. He's like, do it again. You have 3 seconds or whatever to save his friend. And he did it.
And he does it.
Yeah.
And so we get Brother Sum is the main guy from the beginning. The main axe guy that we know is Sum. And he's like, you know, let us join the axe gang. All we've owned to do is part of the axe gang, blah, blah, blah. He goes, okay, have you ever killed anybody? Well, no, I've always thought about it. I've always wanted to.
Have you ever been to the DMV?
So he's like, all right, go out and kill someone, and then you can be part of the gang. And then, you know, that is, growing up in the 90s, that's how gang initiations happen. You know, you just got to randomly murder someone. So you existing in the 90s is constantly living in fear of just being murdered randomly so that somebody could join a gang. Don't flash your lights at people on the roads.
Yeah, no.
Don't give directions. Don't hitchhike. Don't get picked up, or don't pick up hitchhikers. Don't do anything because it's going to be gang initiation. You're going to get murdered so that they can hang out on street corners with other people.
Yeah. And we had all these rules because our parents would also just say, go outside. Don't come back till dark. So, but also don't flash your lights. Don't do all these things.
Don't do this.
Murdering by gang members is the trafficked by illegals today. It is the boogeyman of that time.
Well, you know, there's a certain political party that doesn't have any direction or plan, so all they can do is lead by fear. So they've got to have some great thing that everybody's scared of, or they have no power. So it's almost like they keep inventing new things to be scared of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weird. I wonder who that could be. So they're heading out to kill a guy on a mission to kill a guy. And our main character, this is Stephen Chow. We'll just fucking pull that Band-Aid off. He's like, hey, fat friend, who has no name. This character doesn't have, even in credits, I believe it's like Singh's companion or something. Like, he doesn't even have a fucking name. He's just like, hey, fat friend. I know the Buddhist palm kung fu. I got a pamphlet when I was a kid. And so we cut back to this fucking... I swear to God, I thought it was, but apparently it's not. But this looks like a fucking hobo Rob Schneider. And I was like, is Rob Schneider back on my goddamn podcast? Luckily, no.
I mean, I guess now he is.
now I'm talking about him. God damn it. But this dude comes up and he's like, hey, you look like you have a... Do you have the frame for kung fu or something, like your body?
Yeah, he's like, the way your body or whatever, your frame, like, dang.
Which, if a creepy homeless guy comes up and starts talking about your body, you'd worry. But instead, he's just like, you know, give me $5 and here, learn kung fu. I'm like,
it's $10. For $10, oh, 10. I'll sell you this, the palm, whatever.
I was like, good. Because when you start talking about my body and palms, I thought something else was going to happen.
He's got his chi flow and his bone structure
is all much better. So here, homeless Rob Schneider, which is, I guess you could just say Rob Schneider, take my $10 and leave me alone. Adam Sandler's going to call soon, bud. I
keep your phone on you.
Keep your phone current, and he'll throw you a bone sometime. Until then, keep spewing conspiracy theories and medical disinformation, you piece of shit. So he does read it, and he does some practice, but it never really goes well. At one point, he even gets a victim of Chuck Berry crimes. He gets pissed on. Pissed directly in the face.
He was pissed off, but only led to him getting pissed on.
Yeah.
The gang of guys was trying to freaking steal a girl's lollipop, and he stepped up, tried to use his kung fu to help, but he just got pissed off.
Just got it beat up and pissed on. But the girl was like, I don't care that you got beat up and pissed on. Like, you're the only one that showed courage, and she's into it, but his pride is too hurt.
So he's too hurt. And he asked for a kiss, and she's like, no, your face smells like piss.
I can't kiss you. Your face smells like piss. I can't believe that, one, I found that is a t-shirt, and two, I don't own it already.
Yeah, just so you guys know, Chuck Berry pissed on a lady and then she wanted to kiss and he said, I can't kiss you. Your face smells like this.
Oh, yeah. Wait for the tournament, next tournament episode to learn about that.
We get into that. Educational
tab. Bing. So this is when he realized as a kid that good guys never win. So I want to be a bad guy because they're the ones that have all the power. Cut back to Pigsty Alley. Landlady's just yelling at the three heroes. Like, how the fuck you do this? Fuck you. Now the Axe Gang were on their radar. Now they've got a vendetta. Now they're going to be here fucking with us all the time. Like, you've ruined our anonymity. You've ruined our peaceful life. You want to be fucking Kung Fu masters? Fuck off. Join a circus. Get the fuck out of here. Like, sorry. I thought that saving lives was a good thing.
Yeah. And she kept calling the one Kung Fu master a fairy while he's doing it. And he runs off and, like, cries.
He does.
And
run,
you can see
fairy.
His bright red underwear underneath. Yeah. It's like,
and he runs with his little hands flapping. Like, it's like, all right.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible, but
style that part back a little bit. So now, you know, everybody's mad. Cause they saved the day. How fucking dare they?
Yeah.
And Landlord is just still playing victim, being a bitch. You know, woe is me. So the heroes are shamed, but the townsfolk are like, hey, they might be bitches, but we're, you know, thank you. And to show our thanks, we're giving you potatoes.
And yeah, like the family of the people that were going to get burned alive. We're like, you know, thanks, here's some potatoes.
Thanks for saving my wife and child, here are potatoes. And, you know, you're like, oh, potatoes, that ain't much, but it's them giving all they have. Literally the only things they own, they're giving as a thank you. So it is a nice and emotional scene. And then, of course, the landlady comes in and fucks it all up. A lot of homophobia,
mm-hmm.
Some slurs, and it's not great.
That's 20 years ago. But I also kind of appreciate, like, in that mindset, it's like, this dude is one of the baddest ass dudes in the movie. So, I mean...
Correct. I think it's done more as a look at how stupid homophobia is, as opposed to, hey, gay people are F words. You know, it is very much a pointing out the stupidity of such a thing. But
there's a lot of homophobia during this era of movie. I mean, in the early 2000s that go a lot worse than this. And like I said, this guy's a badass.
Where it was legit instead of like trying to shine a light on it and saying, no, but this is a bad motherfucker right here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So she's yelling at people like, you owe me 3 months rent. That's $90. And I was like, what? 3 months for $90? I will pigsty it up. Let me go.
It was the early 2000s. It was a crazy time.
It was a crazy time. I wasn't paying $30 a month in the early 2000s. I fucking wish. And I was in Manhattan, goddamn Kansas.
Oh, I think when this movie came out, I was living in Kansas City, so I had an apartment in Kansas City, and I think we were paying maybe $500-$600 for our apartment there a month, but
yeah,
still a lot less than what you'd pay there now.
I think 2004, I would have been on Morrow Street in Manhattan, and I was living with a couple, so we had a 2-bedroom apartment, you know, me and one, obviously them and another. It was not a thruple situation, but I think we each paid like $330 something. So not terrible, but that's still $900 a month for a fucking 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
30 a month? Yes. And I can learn Kung Fu from the fucking rice guy.
And I get water 3 days a week.
Yeah. And water 3 days a week. This living is what this is. So anyway, Lipstick Lady comes to yell at Landlady, who finally just snaps. Landlady's like, I have fucking had it with you people, and just screams so loud everybody has to cover their ears. The main two guys are back and they're impressed by her lung power. Like, holy shit, that lady really can scream, huh? And Singh decides to throw a knife at her, but he throws it and it ricochets. They're like in this hallway leading into the town square, you know?
Yeah, he decides he's going to kill the landlady. That's going to be his murder.
Yeah. Oh, that is going to be his murder to initiate him. And why? What? Who better than?
Yeah, the one that
led the charge seemingly against his boss. So he throws this knife, but it bounces off the wall and ceiling and ends up in his own shoulder. And he's like, ah, fuck. And so his fat friend is like, let me try. And he throws a knife and it also lands in Singh's shoulder. He's like, fuck, let me try with my other arm. And then when he reaches or cocks his arm back to throw, it ends up just stabbing him in the shoulder. And Singh gets stabbed like 3 or 4 times.
He's got 3 knives in him. But then he still manages to throw the handle and the handle slaps the landlady. The
handle comes loose and he chucks it, hits the landlady in the face like, who's throwing handles? So, and then he's like, I'm going to throw this cage of snakes.
Yeah. It's a whole cage of goddamn cobra snakes for some reason in the alley, random alley.
Just sitting in this alley. And so he goes to, he picks up this cage of snakes to chuck it, and it opens and all the snakes fall all over Sing. And he's like, what the fuck? So he gets bit a bunch and they,
like on the mouth. Like the snakes just kiss him right on the lips.
Yeah. And so the landlady's pursuing him, and
this is full Looney Tunes. Absolutely. Legs spinning.
Like, legs look like propellers, and the background is just flying by like blurs. I mean, it is 100% a Looney Tunes chase. And it's awesome because Sing is using the knives in his shoulders like rear view mirrors.
It's great.
Checks the landlady chasing him as he's running. It is fucking hilarious. I love every second of it. So, you know, they I don't remember how they get away, or they lose her somehow.
And no, like, I think he goes under a truck and she goes over, and then she hits a sign on the side of the road.
Yeah,
and
he,
then he
like
gets away.
Drops onto his side and runs underneath the truck, and she Super Mario leaps over it, and runs into a sign. He gets away and ends up in a what I can only call a traffic silo. I don't know.
I don't even like every friggin' traffic signal had to have like a bin to store stuff in it or something like that.
A massive grain silo at every traffic light. And I have not been to China. This may surprise you, listeners, but I have seen pictures, and I have never seen a giant grain silo at every intersection. So I don't know what the fuck this thing is that he's hiding inside of.
Yeah, it's just like a big black tub with traffic signals sticking
around. Traffic signals. And he's recovering from the snake bites. His face is all swollen, and he's like having this crazy moment, and something snaps inside of him. And the camera goes outside of it, and all of a sudden you see these handprints shoot out. Like he's from the inside beating.
It's like, if you're like in a tub, like a tin tub, and you're like, every time he hits it, like his hand would go through and make like a huge indention, like in cartoons, or like when they hit something. Yeah.
Outdention, I guess.
Outdention. Something.
Because he's, anyway, it'd be like if the Hulk was pummeling through something, you can see his handprint sticking, like he's stretching the metal out all around this thing, probably 50 or more of his fucking handprints around this thing. And you never see how he got there or what it's doing. It's like the lady hit a sign and all of a sudden he's in this fucking traffic silo punching it. And you're like, what? It was like almost a bad edit. Like, did we cut something out? How did he end up in town inside this thing?
Yeah. I don't mean,
cause they were like running through the countryside. It wasn't like they were approaching town or getting into town or anything. It was random countryside foot chase.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden he's just sitting in this black tub punching it, and you're like, what? Wait, what the fuck is this all about? This is super weird. And finally the last hit that he makes is a palm shape instead of a fist, and it's like, oh, he talked about Buddha's palm. So finds his idiot helper who's like, hey, how'd you recover so fast? I don't know. Anyway, shut up about all that. And they're checking out this lady's ass. This lady walks by, and they're watching this booty walk, and then they see these two blind men get off the train. Well, maybe not both blind, but it seemed to me like both are blind.
Yeah, one of them could see, and you see that when they're like talking with the axe gang. I mean, but you don't see that yet. But right now, they're just both walking, and they both are like have that whatever that instrument is called.
Strapped. Each are carrying this massive fucking package. And they end up blocking the view of this sweet ass that they were checking out. So, back at Pigside, the landlady's like debating on kicking out the three heroes because it causes trouble. But if you do, then you've lost you got no food.
Yeah.
No clothing. So, you can't really get rid of them. And while she's debating this is where our blind guys meet the axe gang. And like, oh yeah, we're all familiar with the styles. You know, they're talking about, and then this dude who fucking hangs up clothes had these metal rings. Oh yeah, such and such style. And then this rice maker did blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah. Got it. No, we got this. We can handle this shit. No problem. So we find out these guys are the number one killers, like No. We're not number one. Number one is the Beast. That dude is fucking crazy. But luckily, he is in jail. So,
insane asylum, because he studied Kung Fu so intensely that he went insane.
So we're the best available.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, we're not the best. And they're like, well, so that guy's locked up. You're the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best left.
That's how it works. So the three heroes are prepping to leave town. I guess we're marooned because we saved people. This is weird. Hey, before we leave town, guys, why don't we just spar a little? Y'all are badasses. I love you guys. Let's just, you know, what's a few punches between brothers, and spar a little bit. And the camera just kind of swarms around the building town, the pigsty alley, right? And we get some weird shit. There's a dude shitting on the floor. I may have
missed that part.
Need to make a note about it, apparently. Yeah. But we're just cruising along, you're following the camera through pigsty alley, and there's just a guy deucing on the floor. And this is when our guys show up with this instrument, a zither.
Zither.
The zither. Not to be confused with Zephyr, the Chili Pepper song.
Right. Not that.
No.
This is a zither.
A zither. And, you know, they set up and they are ready to give a concert to Pigsty Alley. And first, you know, they strum and it knocks over the first hero. And it's like, wait, what the fuck is that?
Well, like, it even took that one. Like he's walking and they keep strumming and, like, shit behind him is falling apart. Like, stuff is breaking behind him. Like, a cat jumps off a roof and then in the shadow you see the cat gets cut in half.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, the dude just walk along and his head falls off.
Yep.
Like, our Kung Fu master's heads are falling off. We got to get out of here.
To Aspen. Then the tailor comes up and puts up a hell of a fight, but then he gets strummed down. But then here's where we see when they strum, the camera, like, really zooms in and they're like swords and fists in the sound waves.
Yeah.
So it's a magical zither. So now the whole town's hiding, like, oh, Jesus. Well, fuck.
Well, I don't think the second master went down necessarily, because then the third master came out with, like, his, he had his whole bag of spears, and now he's fighting back against, like, he saw what's going on. He's
the tailor's still fighting. It's a huge, massive strum attack. They're both just like, blah, 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 and then the noodle maker comes in. So now we got the other heroes, you know. And the spear versus zither fight is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's really
the one that could see, like, when they were talking to the axe gang, the blind one, he was reaching out trying to find his tea, and that's when his friend reached over and, like, pushed it towards his hand, and then it's when you realize that one is blind but the other is not.
Got it.
And okay. The guy with the claws is the one that's not blind, because there's one dude that they just fight one-on-one, I think, with the, I forget which one it was, and he's, like, got sharp fingernails, like, real.
Oh yeah, he's got his little saber tooth claws.
Yeah, like Cardi B hands.
I guess, yeah. Why not?
Not an ass like her, though.
Yeah, it's hard to match that.
No. Yeah.
I'm a guessing that wasn't a gift from God, but that was paid for.
It's a gift to us.
So, this fight's awesome. It's a perfect level of cartoon and choreography. Like, it's a great, great fight scene. But the zither does win. And the landlady just keeps screaming about, who's playing this goddamn instrument? She fucking quit being so loud. And so finally she screams so loud it destroys the zither powers. Like, their weaponized sound waves get beaten by her sound waves.
Does he come? Does the landlady do that first, or does the landlord come down there first?
As the lady. And so the blind dudes are like, wait a minute. There's more than these three. We just were told these three masters. There's another one here. And so then they try to leap into action. This is when the landlord comes into play.
Yeah, because this is when the gangsters, I think they came out to maybe shoot the landlady or do something, because they're both standing side by side, and then all of a sudden the landlord's between them. And it's a great scene. Yeah. They're both like,
he's just there. And then they try to punch him, but he's moved so fast that they end up just punching the shit out of each other as they're trying to hit him.
I really did like this scene, because he's, like, got a hold of them both, and he just keeps moving them around, so they're just beating the shit out of each other, and he's almost, like, dancing, like, all loose-limbed and shit. Just
being creepy uncle about it.
Yeah.
So it turns out he's also a master. Yeah, he's throwing them all around, and they have to restring the zither really fast, and the landlady steps in and, like, sucks down an entire cigarette, just And then super scream, and these guys, the Zither, they're fucking wind demons and everything, just go flying away.
Yeah, their clothes literally flew off of them.
Yes. And what we get the line, who knew that the lion drawer really exists? Holy shit. So the Axe Gang guys, they get in the car and try to leave, but they can't leave because the land folk are all of a sudden in their car with them. And so the main axe guy, you know, landlady's like, hey, leave us the fuck alone. Now that you know who we are, or I'll fucking kill you. And he backs down. He's even like, okay, yeah, all right, Mitch.
This is where she does like the Bruce Lee thing from like Enter the Dragon or whatever, wasn't it? Like the exact same like hand motions where she like wags the finger.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And does like it's exactly like from Bruce Lee.
And he tries to light a cigar, but ends up catching on fire, and then they use a whiskey flask to try to put the fire out and let him on fire even more. It's like, what the fuck is happening? We cut back to town. People are trying to recover from this Zither attack. And it's like, who knew the landlords were badasses? Maybe if they would have fucking stepped up earlier, we wouldn't have had to call out the three hidden heroes and then exile them. Axe Gang probably wouldn't ever came in the first place if they knew that there were so many goddamn kung fu masters just farting around town.
I think at this point, two of the masters are dead, but one is still hanging on for dear life.
Yes. And so we didn't want to fight. Look, we're just trying to live a simple life and mooch money out of people that don't have any. It's the American dream in China. And the dying noodle, the noodle maker's still alive, but he gives them the Spider-Man quote, great power, great responsibility. Yeah. If you have the ability to do it, you have to fucking do it.
Uncle Ben?
Yeah.
Thought you made rice.
Yeah, what are you doing with noodles now? And then he mumbles something, and like, we can't understand what you're saying. And then he dies. Like, just such a humorous note on the end of this emotional scene. So our guys get on this bus, and they get beat up. Our two guys are bitches. They're just getting beat up everywhere they go.
Yeah,
they can't fuck with everybody. They're trying to steal ice cream, just try to prove they're hard gangsters. It's some stupid line about, you've never seen the free ice cream.
Yeah, you've never seen free ice cream before or whatever. And then, they run away with the ice cream.
And
the pretty lady that sells the ice cream.
Yeah. And then he's like, we can kill this random girl, you know, because we got to kill somebody. But it turns out that was the girl he tried to save in the flashback, the lollipop girl.
That was later when they robbed her, because they came back and robbed her with a knife.
Yes.
And then she pulled out the lollipop.
So we get the flashback here, and he breaks her lollipop and runs. Even runs away from his own buddy.
Yeah.
Because he's dealing with his emotions.
Right. Now he's got some man emotions.
And he doesn't have a car to drive them off, so he has to run them off.
Yeah. No drywall. It's all like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he ends up at this club. And hey, we get you some new clothes. You're an axe. You're in. And some is even like, I knew you'd do anything. And conveniently, we have an assignment for somebody who would do anything. So they need him to break into a pathology center. They're basically going to use him as a bitch. Like, we're going to send him on bitch errands.
Well, I thought his first mission was to go into the insane asylum to free the beast.
I don't think we're doing the beast yet. We're going, because they're talking about when the guards change, you have
5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, but I saw a sign that said pathology center.
No, I don't know. I mean,
the subtitles did. Maybe it was a mistranslation.
Yeah, because I think it's the asylum. It's the asylum where
they got to wait for the changing of the guards, and then you got a 5-minute window, and you got to break out the beast. That's right. But yeah, I just have
got 5 minutes to myself. I'm going to break out the beast.
Oh, that should have been your introduction. It's the 5-minute break to my beast breakout or something. Anyway, but so I even have a note here. Why prison break at a pathology center? It makes no sense. So
yeah, probably a bad interpretation.
He fumbles his way through this whole thing, finally gets to the cell of the beast. And there's a weird shining blood elevator kind of scene for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, like where the door behind where the beast is at, it's like it does a cube or friggin' the shining blood down the hall.
But it's all a mirage. It immediately cleans up and it wasn't ever real. It's like, what? Why?
I got to lay off the peyote.
I got to lay off that Buddhist palm, man. So Beast is just this old bald man in some fucking flip-flops.
Just reading a paper when he opens it up.
Like, this is the guy they want. This is the guy they're going to get. Name your price. We'll pay anything. He's like, I just want a worthy adversary. They've got him like sitting in a chair, you know, like prove to us that you're as badass as everybody says before we pony up money. He's like, I don't even want your fucking money. Yeah. I've just been trying to find anybody who can give me a good fight. I'm like, well,
yeah, he's like, that's the only reason why I was still locked up is because no one was worth fighting. So I don't, you know, if there was, I'd have got out.
Yeah. And, you know, show us some moves then if you're such a badass. And he's like, nah,
none of you are worth it.
And so they punch him and he just keeps laughing. Like he even split his lip a little bit and there's blood trickling down. He's just laughing at him, all you fucking bitches. And like one of them pulls a gun and he just grabs it. And everybody like all of a sudden the entire gang pulls all their guns out. And he's just like nonchalantly looking at the gun he had taken. He's like, do they make these for men?
Yeah.
he takes the gun, points it at his own head. Fires and stops the bullet with his finger.
Yeah, fires and catches the bullet between the gun and his head.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, so cool.
Like, okay, I guess, yeah, you are badass. And then his favorite move is the giant axe kick, where he legs swings around, up over his head, and then straight down. And he axe kicks, and the floor splits, and the building splits open.
He's a bit of an axe kicker.
Hate it. But he just kicks the building apart and ends up at this casino where he, you know, confronts.
Oh, there's the landlord and the landlord sitting there doing some gambling.
Sitting there gambling. And he just sits down across the table and they're like, oh, fuck, it's the Beast. And he's like, oh, I've heard about you too. Lion's Roar. Nice. Yeah, I'm into that. Like, you're with the Axe Gang? He's like, nah, no, I'm just on what other side would give me a good fight, man. That's all I want to do. All I want is to either kill you or get killed by you. And so, massive cartoon fight. Gonna make it over there, bud?
Yeah.
Very awesome fight. Very cartoony, but very awesome. Kicking the shit out of both of our landlords with ease. She does the Lion Roar, but he just stands there. Doesn't even affect him.
Just takes it.
So he's just kicking the shit out of them. They're like,
they'd also brought, went down the wrong pipe, like a bell, like, oh, a funeral bell or whatever, like, because they were coming to kill all the axe gang.
We got to see who the funeral bell tolls for. Yeah. I think it tolls for thee. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a giant bell and she starts slapping it and the Beast is beating her up. And as soon, every chance she gets, she runs over and just keeps open palm slapping this bell. I'm like, it's not your lover's ass. What do you?
Yeah, I was like, what's in this bell? Like, what are they trying to free right now?
Why you keep spanking this bell?
I mean, I'm into it, but...
Yeah, call me a bell, baby. Let's do this. and she's, you know, as she's getting punched in the face repeatedly, slapping this bell around. And then finally the top of it breaks off and she picks it up like a massive megaphone. You're like, oh, I get it. And then Lion's Roar through this bell megaphone and... sends the Beast fucking flying through walls, through windows, through buildings. Like, this fucking dude got a knockoff surface-to-air missile and fucks him all up. And she, you know, he's standing up. He's got shards of glass sticking out of him. He's all fucking cut up, and he's battered and bruised and bleeding. And she raises the megaphone to go for round two, and he's just like, no, I can't, no more. And then stabs him. He has these weird little...
He's like, I give up. I'm defeated or whatever. Like, Lion's Roar with the speaker. Like, I never knew, or whatever.
Police station. Yeah. I am defeated. And he pulls out these little metal rods. And when he yanks on them, a little flat, like the end splits into a flower.
Yeah.
Like a metal, like a little decorative flower. But then a needle shoots out of the middle of it. So he's got these super ornate, unnecessarily complicated, flowery, stabby thingies.
Yeah.
And so he's... Stabs them with these, and they get all tied up. They've all got, it's like a triangle of submission holds.
Yeah, like they're all pinned down, locked up. Yeah,
it's almost like a porno, but nobody's eating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean...
They're just twisting A lot of jerkin, but not the gherkin.
There was one hand missing. I didn't see where it was at. I don't know what it was doing, so I can't make a complete judgment on that.
Fair. Good point. So Axeman Sum comes up, and he's like, somebody, he's got like a table leg.
Yeah.
It's like, somebody beat them while they're all occupied. Beat them, and nobody wants to know. It's like, I've seen what these three have been doing for the past 5 minutes. I am absolutely not getting involved in that. And finally, Singh's like, yeah, I guess I'll do it. And while he's like yelling at Singh, Singh's just like, fuck you, and hits some with it.
Yeah, cracks him over the head with
cracks it. Cracks him over the head, and then turns and hits the beast. Breaks the table leg on the beast's head.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, fuck you. I mean, I'm still going to do this, but fuck you first. And then hits the beast, and the beast, like, let's go to the landlords, and gets up. Like, why did you just do that? And then, boom, the chest punch of all chest punches.
Yeah.
His chest caves in like a sinkhole.
There was an exit wound on the back of his suit from the punch.
The back of his suit blows out. Yeah. And then Super Axe kicks him into the floor, like he gets indented into the floor, and then just punches his head repeatedly that he caves the floor in, and his neck is broken, but his head is at a backwards 90 degree angle down into the floor.
I love, like, halfway in the middle, he's like, you know, why did you do that or whatever? And he, like, picks up the little stick that's left of the table leg and, like, slaps him in the face with the like, his head is caved in, and he smacks him in the face with it.
And so he just keeps punching his head into the floor deeper over and over and over. And then he's going for another punch, and all of a sudden he's gone, because the land folk have taken Singh and absconded him back to a
pig
temple.
I guess if
Pigsty Alley has a temple, or maybe it's just outside of Pigsty Alley, but definitely back to their turf, to this Buddhist temple. He's laying there, and we don't really see him. We kind of see, like, body and hair, you know, we're positioned in a way that we don't, and I'm guessing because they're like, I don't even know how he would do the special effects for how bloodied up and broken that face would need to look like, so let's just not do it. And they're like, any final requests? And he uses his bloody finger to draw this, like, spiral.
Yeah, like a lollipop.
With a line. We don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a lollipop, but you don't really know. They're just like, why don't you write normal Chinese symbols like a human? I don't know what you're trying to fucking say as you're dying. But then, yeah, we get to see that the girl is trying to piece the lollipop back together that he broke. And his friend is standing there staring up at this traffic silo going like, first off, why does that exist? Second, why are there handprints in it? I mean, I guess something that unnecessary, yeah, let's beat the shit out of it. But what is even going on here? But now he's putting together that my buddy does have the Buddhist palm technique. So the beast finally gets to Pigsty Alley with the whole Axe Gang, right? And it's empty. Deserted. And we see the landlords have Singh mummified. They've got them all wrapped up, just thrown in the corner like Elizabeth Shue alley trash in Back to the Future 2. Just
I think
over there.
They're like, yeah, I don't know how he's alive. Every bone is broken. Every ligament is torn.
Yeah.
Everything is,
like,
fucked up.
Well, the herbs that we have wrapped him in, they're doing their work, but something about his makeup, like, it's definitely a him thing that is his body type is amazing. He's healing so fast. And then all of a sudden the wrappings start kind of popping loose and tearing open. And then as the mummification starts popping open, we cut back to the beast, who sees this cocoon open, and this beautiful butterfly from the beginning of the movie comes flying out. Just in case you as a viewer don't understand and you need symbolism to blatantly tell you what the fuck is happening with the landlords and the mummy. We've got a fucking caterpillar enter, metamorphosis, butterfly leave cocoons literally happening because they've cocooned him.
Gotta spell it out for you.
Yeah. We gotta lay it out because you're Americans and you don't understand symbology. So the whole gang stands ready outside the landlord's door. We get to see them there on the balcony above. There are 100 of them on the landing outside the door. They're down below. They're down in the courtyard. Like, it is the end of the third Matrix when you have a million Smiths all around, and they're ready for the store. And we see Singh gets up, and we're all behind him. Like, we don't see him at all, but he's in white now. He is Gandalf the White.
I think he's wearing black pants, though.
Black pants, but he was like in normal just street urchin clothes before. Right. So part of his cocoon process was a very sweet wardrobe upgrade. So, you know, just like all sorts of movies with the Jesus complex, he has died and been reborn better. And he tells landlords, I've got this. And again, we're only behind. We can't see his face. We just get that rear view of that ass and them pants. Mm. And he approaches the door, and we keep seeing the gang outside the door and him walking up and turning the handle of the door. And then the gang seeing the door open, and then, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then when the door opens, it's the Beast.
Yeah, it was a little confusing for a second. Like, wait, what?
Classic misdirect, because he's a floor down at a different door, and he's standing there looking at him. And he's like, oh, they had him in a different place, not their actual apartment. All those wily landlords. And a quick line about the landlord say something. It's a good thing the Beast beat him so badly it broke open and cleared out his chi flow.
Something.
Unlocked his unclogged true potential. That's what I do every night. I got to beat it so bad I clear out my chi flow, if you know what I'm saying.
That's right. Chi flowed all over my belly button.
I thought you did the tissue trick.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. It just depends on the situation. You know, if I'm going to take a shower.
How much prep time I got. Sometimes the mood hits you and you got to clear out some chi real quick.
Like, oh, my God, my chi is all clogged.
I got to get some Mary, something about Mary ear dangles going on here. So, big fight. The fight. In a movie that's had a whole lot of big fights. The fight. I mean, he is just kicking the Axe Gang's ass. And it's even taken him a minute to like realize how fast and how good he can be. Cause at first he's just kind of dodging and, you know, doing his, not eyes closed, I guess, but he's just kind of standing there in his own world and just kind of lazily moving side to side and dodging everything.
Like at the beginning, it's a lot of like moving, it's focused on his feet, moving his feet a little bit just so that they're like hitting each other. Or like he's slightly dodging everything.
Just the slightest move on his part makes them totally miss. And trip over.
Is that the one where you like, you are a leaf on a stream? Is that what that martial art is, or what one is that? I forget.
It might be, because it's more of a meditative thing, but then there have been people who've been saying it can be used in actual conflict. And then there was the Keanu Reeves movie Man of Tai Chi, where the Tai Chi master takes on somebody from every single discipline and beats the shit out of them and all that. But yeah, the whole that premise is like it purely reactive. So he's just standing there and letting them do whatever. And then as he's like, he's feeling himself out. And as he gets the grasp of what he's capable of, then he finally starts like unleashing attacks. And the Beast is like, what kind of moves are these? These are amateur fucking moves. But then he like kicks a dude, fucking flies.
Oh yeah. Cause he's smushing feet now. Like he's just like stomping on toes. Like stomping on, that's kid stuff.
And and then this body goes flying like 100 yards. Like, Oh,
doesn't hurt stomp.
All right. So, and of course it's all cartoony noises, sound effects, I mean, cartoon effects, visual effects too. And, just beats up, and he's running sideways along the railing, not on top of it, but along the side of it. And he's flipping over this and beating that. And we might even get some bowling pin noises as he's knocking people over. And it's what the final fight of Matrix wishes it could look like. I mean, it's all CGI either way, but this one at least is like, hey, if we're being cartoony, let's be cartoony. Whereas Matrix is like, no, we're a serious picture, and it looked cartoony anyway and shitty. But he's just mopping the fucking floor with all these people, and he ends up at the Beast. And punches him off a fucking balcony. I like this. The Beast is like, what are you going to do to me? And he's so fast, he punches the Beast before he can even fucking realize anything's happening. And knocks him through the railing and is able to kick him in the face 3 fucking times before he hits the ground. And he's just like, oh.
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
Good answer.
And so he just keeps trying stuff, and old Singh is just too fast and too strong. Can't do anything. So finally Beast breaks out frog style.
Yeah.
And he just crouches down on the ground, and we get so much camera up the Beast's ass. So many ass shots of this old man crouching down froggy style.
It's not even as bad. I don't mind the ass shot as much as when he does the croak and his freaking
throat swells up.
It's weird.
Yeah. I I've seen some throat bulges, but not like this. Not like this.
Not like that.
Froggy style is my go-to move, though.
Froggy style.
Gonna rib it all day, little frog, or you gonna leap?
You feeling hoppy?
Let's go. So he starts frog leaping. And when he frog leaps, he's like rocketeer flying, you know, like he frog leaps and zooms and, you know, he hits Singh a couple times until Singh's like, oh, I get what you're doing, and is able to dodge. And like he like dodges him, so Beast ends up flying into the apartment building. Like,
yeah, flying through.
And then he's like hidden back in here and he's chucking cinder blocks out, and Singh's like knocking them all back in and just like tennis racketing these cinder blocks back and forth for a while until, you know, he comes frogging back out. And so he finally like ends up on the ground and super froggy leaps and hits Singh and knocks him
into the freaking atmosphere, essentially.
Yeah, like he goes up so high, and then a fucking crane is flying by, so he ends up like stepping on the crane and leaping up even higher and getting his own momentum at this point. And he gets so high up into the clouds, he's fucking stratosphere at this point. This is where Iron Man freezes over.
Yeah.
And the clouds take the shape of Buddha.
That cloud looks like a rhinoceros. Oh no, that's Buddha.
The third largest land mammal.
Well, not since Elise introduced her 70-ton horse in the Knight's Tale. Yes. That,
and then Manny's mom.
Oh, right. And then Manny's mom.
So third.
Yeah.
But that's where he's like, oh yeah, Buddhist palm technique. So from the top rope, as it were, the toppest of top ropes, he just comes Superman style, open palm down towards the ground.
Well, he's like doing that, hands folded most of the way down. And then as he's getting close, now he pulls the hand out. He's like, talk to the hand.
Yeah. Yes. Talk to the hand. So, and even the landlords are like, oh my God, Buddha's palm. And he just... What Buddha, the palm that falls from heaven or something, they call out
the, like that.
Some lore about the Buddhist that falls from heaven and all this. And oh my God, it's the whole thing from his pamphlet. And makes the, he doesn't even hit. He doesn't even strike. He's pushing down so hard that before he even like gets back down to the height of the building, like he's still way up in the air, and this fucking giant palm shape gets pressed into the ground print
with the Beast in the middle of it. He can't even, like, he's trying to mount his toe to salt and he can't even get off the ground. He's just getting pressed down,
just getting crushed in this air pressure of Buddhist palm. And and somehow burns his shirt off, lights his clothes on fire.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah,
what happens,
part of the Buddhist palm thing.
Yeah, just burning clothes off.
Right.
It's just what I do every time I get a lucky lady around. Buddhist palm those clothes off. And so then he's standing there, Goku style, just calmly waiting for his opponent to be like, holy shit, you're too strong. Because every single time Goku fought an opponent, he had to die and come back. That dude is fucking... Jesus needs to up his numbers with that one resurrection, is what I'm saying.
It's a rookie numbers.
Yeah. Fucking poser. So he's standing there, and Beast goes for another frog jump, and he just palms again, and we get the huge, like, the building behind him gets, the entire building gets palm shaped.
Well, I think that's the end, because doesn't, like, the Beast, like, oh, I give up, or whatever, you win, or whatever, like, and then he tries to pull out the flower thing again, or whatever.
He does a second palm, and
because he does it right over his shoulder. Like, he could have killed him with it, but it takes out a building instead.
And you see the outline of the palm in the building behind him. Yeah, and he has the thing, and dude just like grabs the little flower stabby stick out of his hands and is looking at it, and this is when Beast is like, what fucking move is that?
Yeah.
And Singh goes, if you want to learn, I will show you. And he just like walks off like he's all calm.
Then the Beast goes down on all fours. He's like, master! Like, calls him master.
Oh my God! And he just breaks down crying. And the Beast was done. And here's Stephen Chow, our director, without a shirt. And he's looking, he is fit.
Yeah.
He is a fit man.
Yeah.
And so then we, you know, epilogue. We get a little bit of an epilogue. Lollipop girl, blind girl's walking along. Well, she's not blind because she's seeing all these kids.
Yeah, she's mute.
Mute, not blind. Right. Other issue.
I'm trying to make everybody blind in this show.
nobody can see anything in this entire movie. And it's like, why are all these people with lollipops? I'm like, because they're fucking kids and they're cheap candy. Of course they got. Have you ever been in an area where there are a shitload of kids? Yeah, you give them candy and you let them run around and leave you the fuck alone. I don't know why she's so confused. What are these kids doing with lollipops? What is this?
Who's giving these children candy?
What in the world is happening?
And candy is for adults.
Yeah. Yes. Except I can't actually say this. Because I'm mute.
Right.
So it's more like...
For you...
I was doing hands.
This is a terrible podcast.
We are so professional. So anyway, she turns a corner and there's a lollipop shop. And there's fucking, was it 50 Cent? Take it down to the candy shop. Let you maybe lick on the lollipop. Stop till you hit the spot or some bullshit. I don't know. It's my penis, everybody. Do you get it? I'm talking about my penis. That's the chorus.
Yeah, right. Not familiar with the song.
The Dan Band covered it at the end of Hangover, I think. Or maybe Old School. I don't know, one of the movies that had the Dan Band. Yeah. But anyway, she's like, oh my God, it's a lollipop store. Yay, it's our hero Singh and his fat friend. They open, and fat friend is not having it. He's like, ye fucking kids, I will fucking end all of you. Stop touching shit. Stop breaking shit. And Singh is just like, yay, I'm so peaceful now. And walks out into the street and sees the lady. And all of a sudden, like, the camera pans around. As it pans around, they become kids. And they get to go back to where they first met. You know, now, hey, no, I'm not covered in piss.
This is me pre-peed.
This is, yeah, sans pee. Are you into that? How about that?
I got a pre-peed gift card.
And so music swells. He like holds her hand and they walk into the candy shop and he lets her lick the lollipop and that whole thing. The landlords even come by. You see the two landlords as the camera's like panning up over the town so we can leave and fly into the end credits. Here come the landlords. But there's an extra, and I sent a picture of this into our group chat. There's an extra standing in the background trying to hit on this lady and his ass full on just hanging out.
Oh, that was the guy from the... That was because the guy that cuts the hair from the village.
And his ass just...
His ass is out the whole movie. Like, just, every time he turns around, his ass is out.
Just this guy in the background. He's, like, got his arm on... There's this lady standing there, and he's got his arm on the wall next to her, like, full on leaning and hitting on... And his ass just hanging out. And that's the last thing you see before credits is this dude's ass crack.
Yeah, that's the freaking guy that cuts hair. The guy that had shampoo in his hair. Because ever since the shower, like, his ass has been hanging out the whole movie.
I recognize him without dried...
Shampoo
on his face. Anyway, so there is one little kid in the home. Rob Schneider comes back by. He's like, hey, I like your bone structure. And the kid immediately goes, I need an adult. He's like, no. I mean, for
this kid
Fu.
Has got freaking boogers hanging out of his nose to full on snot. Ugh.
Like neon green Ghostbusters ectoplasm fucking boogers coming down. And he's like, how about all these? And now Rob Schneider has like 7 or 8 different pamphlets. He's like, look at all these different kung fus you can learn. And then and credits.
Yeah. And it's also turns out in the bully scene from earlier, those pamphlets that he's charging those kids $10 for are 2 cents each. Because it says on the back, like, 2 cent, how to, 2 cent.
Oh, right. So he's making a good profit. Yeah. All right. So we will go around the horn and give our thoughts. Elise, listeners, as you notice, has been pretty silent for the past hour and a half or however long due to connectivity issues we've been having. So she did text in. My rewatchability for Kung Fu Hustle. It's super rewatchable. I love it. Every time I see it, I find new funny shit. 2 thumbs up. So highly rewatchable from Elise.
We don't do the thumb thing, Elise. Is this your first day here?
Yeah, we've never had that. We would get sued by Siskel and or Ebert Estate. So no thumbs. Sorry, the Siskel family. Please don't sue us for talking about thumbs. So, Anthony, how do you feel about Kung Fu Hustle?
Same. This movie is very entertaining. It's cool fight scenes. It's funny. It's a good movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'm glad that I got back into it. It's definitely one that you could watch just to focus on. You could have it on in the background. It's hard to not focus because it is in subtitles. So if you want to know what's going on, you got to read.
Right. I was going to say it's hard to not focus because it's so fucking entertaining. This is an eye magnet. Everything about it. I think it looks great. Like we've been saying, it is heavily CGI, but they're leaning into it to, I mean, it's like fucking watching Bugs Bunny, but doing Kung Fu. It's the gags are all there. It might as well be Wile E. Coyote chasing Roadrunner at points. I mean, it's absurd. It's slapstick.
Oh yeah.
It's so silly. It's goofy, but the fight scenes, the action is great. Even though it's super heightened and ridiculous, like it is absolutely absurd and stupid in all the best ways. Like it knows what it is and it fucking leans into it hard and it delivers. I think it's fucking great. It's perfect across the board. It knows what it's doing. It has moments, touching moments, you know. It gets you invested in these characters. It's not pure just stupidity and slapstick. You feel for people. You get invested with it. You actually care about what's going to happen. It's pretty obvious, obviously, that this fucking idiot, the whole movie is going to come about and be the badass at the end. Like you see that a mile away, but it's still awesome when it happens. I mean, it's not trying to be anything else other than a fucking highly entertaining movie. It's a wonderful time. So highly, highly rewatchable. I would say you could have it on in the background or sit down and watch it. But if this is on in the background, then I'm going to stop doing whatever I'm doing. Like I'm going to end up not even consciously, but I'm going to end up standing there watching this movie instead of finishing laundry or whatever the fuck I was trying to do.
Right.
It's going to suck you in. It's what's going to happen. It's fucking great. So there we go. That's a threesome. I mean, three way. I mean,
airtight.
Rewatchable. If you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter at The Rewatch Party. Find us on Facebook at The Rewatch Party. Email rewatchparty@gmail.com and tell us about your pigsty. How often do you get water? When do you clear out your chi?
Chi all lines? The details. All the details.
I mean, video if you want. We need to know. It makes us closer as a rewatch community to know this about. Anyway, don't forget about our sister show, The Tournament of Champions, wherein we rate and review the likability and fightability of characters from the movies that we review here. We put up polls on our socials where you, the listener, determine who gets into the tournament in the first place. Separate polls where you, the listener, determine how those battles play out. So make sure you find us on Twitter and Facebook because your votes do count. Also, don't forget about the Rewatch Party merch line. We are offering t-shirts, hats, gloves, pants, kung fu pamphlets, anything you need. We'll slap a logo on it and sell it to you. No worries. Join us next week as we use food as motivation to reach our destiny in Kung Fu Panda. Until then, I'm Nick with Anthony and used to be Elise. And thanks for rewatching.
I was a swallower in jail.
In a land of tradition and honor, one kung fu master...
Let's get started.
...has trained five of the greatest warriors the world has ever known. But this master's biggest challenge has just arrived.
I'm coming!
Stairs.
Yeah!
Jack Black.
Go ahead, Panda. Show us what you can do.
Are they gonna watch or should I just wait until I get back to work or something?
Just hit it.
Oh, yeah. Get ready to feel the thunder.
You come at it with crazy feet. What are you gonna do about crazy feet? I'm a blur.
You never seen bear style.
Would you hit it?
How's that?
Everybody was kung fu.
Are you ready?
I was born ready.
Those guys are fast as lightning.
Whoa!
Can I punch through walls? Can I do a quadruple backflip?
Focus. Focus.
That flabby panic is not the warrior.
You just need to believe.
Oh, that was awesome.
Let's go again.
This June, when you focus on Kung Fu, you suck. The way to get through to you is with this. Have a dumpling. DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda. You have done well, Panda.
Done well? I've done awesome! Oof.
Yes, you have done awesome.